You need quality sounds? Tune into CKUT 90.3 on the frequency modulation band radio. www.ckut.ca on the internet. Streaming audio, archive shows, and information.
CKUT.
Welcome, listeners, to CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Gabriel Simeon, and I'm here reporting for John Abbott on the air on CKUT 90.3 FM. Today, I will be interviewing Chris Simeon. Mr. Simeon is the founder and CEO of CDMS, and I'll be asking him some questions on how this ongoing pandemic has affected his work and his personal life. Mr. Simeon, how are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you, Gabriel. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. So before we get into the main questions, let me ask you, what does CDMS do?
So we're an IT support company. So basically, we have customers that call in to our company for support on their computers, on their servers, on their switches, on their infrastructure. And again, it's a B2B, so it's business to business and not home users to business. But that's what in a nutshell, that's what we do. We do support for companies.
Okay, so it's never one person at home will call in to have problems about like IT issues.
No, it's always, they may be working from home, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes when we talk about the COVID, but ultimately it's somebody who works in a business who has a business application that they're working with that will call in to ask questions about their business application or support issues with their IT department.
So how has the pandemic affected work for you?
Tremendously. So to help you understand this, we're a company of about 15 individuals. We work in downtown Montreal. We have an office that's open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. There's always somebody in the office. There's always somebody supporting, you know, the customers that are calling in. The customers could be here in Montreal. They could be in the U.S. They could be in Europe. They could be worldwide. So we're there 24 hours a day. So since the pandemic, so as of March 23rd, if I remember correctly, there was nobody in the office. So basically, I have an office downtown that is completely empty. We go from time to time to make sure that, you know, if we need any work, if we need any files, if we need any pieces, any computer pieces, we go into the office, but ultimately it's a huge, huge problem for us.
And I guess it's been difficult because you need to like see people and like meaning clients and stuff like that. It's been difficult to go in person to talk to them about selling products.
So most of the work that we do, luckily, is remote. Even before the pandemic, it's all done by phone. Most of it is done by phone. There's some that is done in person, so we'll go and visit customers, like you said. So I'm going to say the lucky side to that, the lucky side to my business is that most of it could be done, whether it be down in the downtown office or whether it be remotely. It could be done from anywhere. The challenge is having somebody work remotely, having somebody work from home. It's difficult. It's difficult to supervise. It's difficult to make sure that they have the information they need. It's difficult ultimately it just changes completely the way we work with the individuals in the office. Right.
Right. So how do you manage then on a day off, like while you're working remotely, like, are you always on conference calls? Do you always have like you always in contact with people who might be in person, like one or two people in the office?
Like I said, there's very few people in the office, if any. Most of the meetings that we have are going to be like most of the world does today through Zoom or through Teams. Teams is a big product for us. It's completely changed the way we deal with each other. There's very little contact, even with the customers that we have to go on site, because there are customers that their offices are semi open. They're allowed to be in the building and stuff. Even them, there's very little contact with this customer. We walk in, we do what we need to do. We try to keep distance because obviously we're going from customer to customer. So what you don't want to do is, in case there is a virus at a specific building or a specific customer site, you don't want to bring this virus to other customers. So you have to be very vigilant in the way you work.
Right. And if you do have the option though to go back to the office, would you, or have you adapted enough to work remotely and continue to do so?
Very good question, and actually a very, very smart question. My answer is I would do a hybrid of what we had before. So one of the things that the positives that COVID brought out is figuring out new ways of working and allowing us to have a hybrid model where I can have some people in the office, I can have some people working remote, or I can have some people in the office part-time, maybe 2-3 days a week, and part-time at home, 2-3 days a week, again, alternating. So it's actually opened up a brand new way of working, which in the long run, I think, is going to be very positive. It's going to be, quality of life is going to improve. I think the fact that people don't have to travel 2 hours a day to go down to a downtown office definitely has changed the world, and especially for us, right?
Okay. Switch gears here. Do you think, regarding like to your work, do you think Canada and like the government kind of handled it well? Like, did it kind of bring out like a positive outcome to you guys, or more negative?
I'm going to talk about the federal government. So very, very little. I saw very little from the Quebec government, to be honest, other than obviously monitoring and making sure that people are following the rules and giving guidelines. I think the Quebec government did a good job in doing that. From the federal government, what was tremendous, so when this thing first started, for a business owner, huge, huge question mark, right? How are we going to survive? Are our customers going to be okay? Are we going to be able to pay our bills? Are we going to be able to get paid? Because we don't get paid from customers, we obviously can't pay our bills. It's kind of a, chicken and egg, right? What the federal government did very, very quickly within the first month or two is they announced the wage subsidy. So they allowed us to keep the folks on on payroll, and we knew that we had support from the government because of that. So I honestly think they did a great, great job announcing that very quickly on. So it made companies like mine very secure, knowing that we're going to be okay.
Okay, so you agree with the methods that Canada or like the federal government did, right?
I think based on the unknowns, because again, this is something that is, it's the first time, right? We've never seen this before. I think they've done a good job because it's unknown. We didn't know, and still to this day, it's unknown. We still don't know if is it going to last another 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, a year. It's to be seen. I think as time goes on, this is where we're going to find out if they're doing a good job or not. But I'm going to say from the onset, with the information that they had on hand, I think they did a great job.
Okay. And do you expect all this to get better soon, or do you expect it to kind of stay the same and you kind of stay with what you're doing now with work?
I think it's going to stay the same for a few more months. I when I say a few more months, at a minimum, 6 months, at a minimum. So we're now month of October. In my mind, I'm guessing, just listening to the news and listening to what's going on, there is no vaccine that's going to be available to the world before January, February. And even when it's available in January, February, it'll take months before it becomes available to us. I think the world will go back to almost being normal, because I think we'll never go back to being normal again. when there's a vaccine that's available and people feel secure, you know, interacting with each other.
Right. All right. So let's take a break from political and work stuff and just talk about some personal stuff. How did you handle it personally wise with family and friends and nothing with the work?
It's actually difficult to answer that without putting work in it. I am an owner of a business. I'm a CEO of a business. The work affected my personal life. It affects it in the sense that, you know, what's going to happen? How are my finances going to be affected through this? So there is an element in there that involves work. From family, very, very difficult. We're a very close family. We see each other quite a bit. I see my kids every couple of days. My kids are older. They're 28, 30 years old. And yet I see them every couple of days. They come by the house. That's not the case since the COVID. Since the COVID, for the first 2 months, 3 months, I saw them from afar. They would show up, sit in the car, and we'd almost wave at each other just to be sure that, you know, we're keeping with the rules. It opened up a bit over time, and we're back again to the same situation as we were when this thing first started, where I hardly see anybody. I mean, even doing this interview, there were challenges just being able to sit across, you know, from you. I mean, we're at least 10 feet away here, just to be sure that we're following the rules here, right?
Right. And if we do get like a second huge wave, would you do anything different, or would you kind of be a little more nonchalant because you're used to this now?
I think nonchalant is probably the way I would do it. We know what we're doing at this point. Well, when I say we know what we're doing, I think the rules are clear. The first wave, I think, hit harder emotionally, the unknown, not knowing how to deal with it, when, what to do, what not to do. We have a lot more knowledge today. A few months down the road, we have more knowledge today. So I think it's going to be easier. If I was going to pick one negative that's coming up for myself, the first time this happened, it was almost, summer was on its way. We're in March, April, May. So every day was getting sunnier. Every day was getting warmer. You start feeling a little down, you go outside, spend a little bit of time outside, you walk around. We're getting into the winter months now. The winter months is going to change all of that. So typically, most people get depressed in the winter. It gets darker earlier. It's cold outside. You don't necessarily want to do things, right? And imagine now they're actually limiting even more. So you can't go to restaurants. Very, very soon they're going to close everything down. Gyms are going to close down. A lot of stuff is going to close, just like it did, you know, a few months ago. Except that at 4 o'clock it's going to get dark. It's freezing outside. So you're not going to want to. And I think this is where depression, I think, for a lot of people will set in. We have to be cognizant of that. We have to be almost prepared for that and say, okay, we got to find ways to motivate ourselves so we don't go down that road. But ultimately, that's my biggest fear, is that you talked about not talking about business, but in my case, I actually have to be cognizant not just of my personal feelings about this, but also the people that work with me. And how do I motivate them to not get depressed, right? They're working from home. They typically wake up, they're on the phones for 7-8 hours. And then after that, what do? So I have to kind of find ways to motivate them, to make them feel, you know what, this is okay. And they have no coworkers, they have nobody around them to associate with. So it's challenging. It's going to be very challenging.
All right. Well, seems like that's it for today. Thank you for being on the show and hearing your personal view on what everything happened.
Gabriel, thank you very much for having me today, and I hope I was able to help you.
Thank you. And once again, this has been Gabriel Simeon interviewing Chris Simeon, the CEO and founder of CDMS, for John Abbott on the air on 90.3 CKUT FM.
Hey, this is Zachary Fleury, and today I'll be sharing my review on episode 365 of Duncan Trussell's famous podcast, the DTFH, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, with his guest, Jack Kornfield. an influential Buddhist teacher and monk who studied along Ajahn Chah, and is known to be one of the first Westerners to have popularized Buddhist teachings in the West. On top of his PhD in clinical psychology, Kornfield is a writer whose books have been translated into 20 languages. Duncan opens the podcast by questioning the writings of Ajahn Chah. In one of his books, in which Kornfield collaborated on, he speaks of parenting and how easy it is to raise a baby. He questions then how someone who seems so distant from day-to-day human experience and someone who's never raised a child or has had a family in the same way as we do can transmit the Dharma truth. Kornfield goes on for an hour-long answer, and here he points out the idealism in Duncan's question, as everything casts a shadow when you shed light on it. Kornfield's genius of bringing a story full circle is shown in this podcast as he jumps from one Buddhist story to the next, all while mixing in his own learnings throughout his path as a monk. Though we may not see the immediate reason in his stories, he always seems as by magic to bring it back to this point, as though he had mapped it out since the beginning. He concludes his answer by going back to one of his own stories of his 500-day meditation training at a silent retreat, where he questioned his teacher, who to him didn't seem enlightened at all, since he was giving contradicting advice to the student monks, to which he answered, "If I fit your model of the perfect teacher, you'd still be in the illusion that you can find the Buddha out here somewhere, and he's not out here." If you want to know more about the DTFH, the show's weekly episodes host a variety of guests, from environmental scientists to authors, doctors, philosophers, and some of the great Buddhist teachers, which Jack Kornfield is one of. The DTFH podcast is available on both iTunes and Spotify, as well as on the DTFH website at duncandrussell.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Ileana Tre, reporting for John Abbott on the Air, CKUT 90.3 FM. Today, I'm here to review one of my favorite podcast episodes of The Ed Milet Show, My Number One Key to Happiness. Do you continuously compare yourself to others or even to your past self? Then this podcast is for you. To sum up, Ed talks about how comparing leads to unhappiness. He does mention that comparing can be used as a leverage when you want change in your life. If you feel that you compare yourself a lot to others, then this is for you. Everyone is guilty of comparison, so I think it's really worth it to listen to this podcast. It offers an exterior view on yourself, allowing you to be self-aware of the comparisons you make every day. My favorite quote that I found really powerful is the following: "Where you find unhappiness, you will find comparison." In fact, the antithesis to that is also true. When there is no comparison, you cannot create unhappiness in your life. You can't be happy if you keep comparing, unless you use it as a leverage to create positive change. Something to reflect on. You can find Ed Milet's podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or on his website at edmilet.com. Thank you so much for listening. This was Eliane Latre tuning in for John Abbott on the Air, CKUT 90.3 FM. Be happy.
Hello, listeners. My name is Evan Policino, and today I'm going to talk to you about a very special podcast out there that, despite a few years having gone by since its release, will always have a dear place in my heart. It's a podcast that helped pioneer a new way of telling stories. The Adventure Zone, by Justin, Travis, Griffin, and Clint McElroy, is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast made by three brothers and their dad. In the first 70 episodes of the show, they tell an amazing and fantastical story, all while joking around, playing a game with nothing but dice, paper, and their imagination. Do not be fooled into thinking this is merely a tabletop gaming podcast for fantasy nerds, because what starts out as a fun family podcast quickly turns into a rich, character-driven story that'll make you care about what is happening behind their voices, not to mention an originally composed soundtrack that backs up key moments in the show. Unlike most podcasts, which usually feature people talking about various topics, often either related to news, comedy, or both, this series is much more like a TV show for all ages that happens to be in audio form. The level of immersion, however, is on the same level as television, and the last few episodes will leave you in tears of both sorrow and joy. I know I was. Despite containing everything from magic, gods and monsters, artifacts, love and death, and the occasional hot tub conversation, absolutely no knowledge or interest in Dungeons & Dragons is required. a taste for fantasy, like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter, helps with the enjoyment of the story, but it's not at all necessary. I would simply recommend The Adventure Zone to anyone who loves epic stories with great laughs. You can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast. Now here's a taste of their music.
This is Gabrielle Makovka, recording for John Abbott on the Air. Ever heard of YouTube sensation Emma Chamberlain? If you haven't, she is a relatable lifestyle YouTuber with a huge fashion influence. I will be reviewing the episode Put Your Phone Down from her podcast Anything Goes. This 45 to 50 minute podcast is unlike anything I've heard before. She talks only to her audience and treats them as best friends, creating a connection with each listener. Emma's a young adult with a mostly teen fan base. Being in her target audience, I find a lot of her content relatable. It has no filter. She swears, messes up, burps, and sometimes loses her train of thought. It is real, raw, and unedited, limiting the pressure to get it right. I really respect that about her and the podcast. It's comforting to hear someone so successful also be so relatable. That really ties into the name of the podcast, Anything Goes. She discusses any topic, no matter how random. This can make the podcast seem disorganized because of the weak structure. If you are looking for an educational podcast that is fact-checked and professional, this podcast is not for you. In the episode where she mentions not going on her phone, she mentions the endless scrolling and says, "I don't want to see that right now because that shit makes me really anxious. I'm ready to enjoy social media, the good parts of it. Just posting, seeing a few nice comments here and there, seeing a few nice tweets, stuff like that, then going off it." I found that from the statement, I was really influenced to limit my phone usage because ultimately, it makes me anxious as well, and this influences me to start changing this habit of mine. The only thing I found confusing is the structure. With an Anything Goes mentality, hence the name of the podcast, I still found myself confused when Emma went off topic or lost her train of thought. She sometimes struggles to get her point across, which can be annoying at times. Besides that, I really enjoy your podcast and highly recommend it to other teens out there. You can listen to Anything Goes by Emma Chamberlain on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher.com, and Radio.com. Once again, I'm Gabrielle Makovka, signing out.
Hey everyone, my name is Will Duhame for John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM, and today I'll be talking about the podcast Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. This podcast is similar to Conan O'Brien's late night show. He is a guest on the show and interviews them. However, on the podcast, Conan has more time to tell stories and tell jokes. In the first episode, Conan speaks with legendary comedian Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell tells the story about his time on SNL and working with Conan while he was still doing a show out of New York City. I'm not really sure there's a benefit to listening to this podcast. It's not educational or thought-provoking. However, it's very funny. The back-and-forth chemistry between Conan O'Brien and Will Ferrell is great, and they feed off of each other extremely well. I think any comedy lover would be a fan of this podcast. Conan O'Brien is, in my opinion, the funniest late-night host. When he's on TV, he has to remain censored and watch his language. However, on the podcast, he has the ability to say what he wants to say. He doesn't need to watch his language, and it makes the show 10 times better. My favorite quote from the first episode of Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is when Will Ferrell says, "I wanted to do a drum off versus a 9-year-old kid." He then goes on to tell the story of how he wanted to do a bit on the Conan show where he would have had a drum off versus a 9-year-old. The punchline would be that the kid is an amazing drummer and Will would just be terrible at drumming. Will Ferrell would have then chased the kid off the stage to end the bit. So, if you're interested in listening to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, you can listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and at TeamCoco.com. Once again, this has been William Duhame for John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. Have a good one.
We are out of time, so I'd like to thank our listeners, our audience, for tuning in for the latest episode of John Abbott on the Air. This has been Patrick Adelstein, and this has been John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care, everybody.
This is Ryan Young, and we're going to leave you with some music from a great Montreal act. I don't think they're together anymore. They might still be together, but I saw them live a number of times and always enjoyed it. And that's the band United Steelworkers of Montreal. And they have an album called Broken Trucks and Bottles from 2006 with the song Place Saint-Henri. So we're going to play Place Saint-Henri now. Have a great day.
God damn, I miss my baby. It's driving me crazy. I'm working so hard. Home, winter in my beer, runnels clear, looks like another weekend alone. I remember the scars, the girls in the bars, when I tilted.
CKUT's 2020 funding drive has been postponed indefinitely, but we are still accepting donations to help us sustain the station's operations while we remain closed due to COVID-19. Our wide network of volunteers provides an essential service to many different communities in Montreal, and the isolation of the past few months has highlighted how important independent news, arts and culture, and music programming is for Montreal's underrepresented communities. If you are in a position to give during this time, visit ckut.ca and click on the green Donate button to make a contribution, or contact funding@ckut.ca if you have any questions.
Thank you for your continued support. Love, CKUT.
Yeah.